Good to see you again. Hello from the presbytery. Greetings from your brothers and sisters and 70 congregations around the Bay Area. It's a joy to be here. Thank you for sharing this day. Thank you for inviting me to share this moment. And thank you for the witness that you are. You are inspiring. I do want to bring greetings. And I woke up this morning, and yesterday I was thinking about you all week, actually. And I realized how excited I was to come here today. I was looking forward to it. And I'm so glad to be with you again. And I don't know the words to express the bold decision that you recently made to stay in the denomination. It's something that we've never experienced in this presbytery. It rippled through the presbytery and the leadership, and when we first heard of it, we sat there in stunned silence and joy. And we were so excited, and it pushed us and is pushing us to further examine how can we be God's church better? How can we be better for you? How can we be better together? And I know that was a big decision and not an easy one. And I also know it was in line with what you do, though, because you make bold, big decisions for God. So we look forward to growing together and how we can strengthen God's ministry here and throughout the presbytery. So just know that the leadership is grateful, and we take this very seriously, and we'll continue to walk with you. I'm excited. I believe we have a new stated clerk in our denomination, and I believe what he has told all of us. Some people say the Presbyterian Church is dying, but I don't believe that's true. We are reforming. The Holy Spirit is working and is reforming all of us, calling us back to be the people God created us to be, calling us forward. And I think this is a bold, exciting time. So with a grateful heart and also a big hello, I'm here. And thank you today. As we get started, too, I want to commend to you a book. It's an old book written by Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann is a world-renowned Old Testament scholar, and he also, I had the fortune of him being my Old Testament professor in seminary many moons ago. But I owe a word of thanks and indebtedness to Walter Brueggemann this morning, and especially in his work, Using God's Resources Wisely, Isaiah and Urban Possibility. That's the name of his book. Using God's Resources Wisely, Isaiah and Urban Possibility. He helped me see some of the images that I'll present to you today and the way Isaiah speaks to urban possibility and even stewardship. Our scripture lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah. It is one of the lectionary readings and selections for today. I started preaching the lectionary years ago when I was pastoring a church just like you, and was amazed at what the lectionary would take me. It would take me to places I wouldn't normally go. It would the congregation over 3 years would read scriptures we wouldn't normally read. And also, I was amazed at what the Holy Spirit did with the lectionary selection. So I stayed with the lectionary reading for today. And I'm amazed at how timely this is. So our lectionary reading today, our scripture reading, comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the word of God. This is Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaking to Jerusalem, which has been devastated, with these amazing words. You'll know them well. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, A little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your house of prayer, in your mission outpost, in the place where we gather together to meet you, to be empowered by your Spirit, to catch your wind. We pray that all of this service may praise your name, that any and all of this will praise your glory. We ask that you take the songs we sing and the prayers we pray, the sermon we preach and the scripture we read, the gifts we give, and use them for your ministry and for your service to further your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. I saw an interesting video on Facebook recently. There's a lot of interesting things on Facebook. But this was a fun, interesting thing. It was a picture of a cockatoo. You know, one of those white parrot birds with the big feathery cap? This was all white cockatoo that was trying to make its way into about a group of three or four cats. That's what I said. And the whole time you hear this meowing sound, you know, meow, meow. And what's interesting about it, when you watch the video, it's not the cats who are meowing. It's the cockatoo imitating the cats. I've never seen a bird behave this way. And neither had the cats, because they sort of stood there bewildered. One of them started to raise their paw and then just tilted its head. Like, what is this? And the bird would meow in their face, and they would run, and they would come back. And somebody thought the caption was, he just wants to belong. But it's a picture of animals behaving in ways that seem unusual and even unnatural. And I thought that this might help us think about Isaiah's prophecy. Take that picture of the cockatoo meowing in the middle of four or five cats as a metaphor for how the Holy Spirit transforms our world. Now, I'm not saying the bird is full of the Holy Spirit. I really don't know that. But it's a great metaphor. Isaiah invites us to imagine our world, our context, like a jungle. Imagine all the people in your world like animals in that jungle. There's the wolf, cunning, lethal, ruler of the night. I come from North Georgia, and a lady remarked to me one time she'd seen a wolf in her backyard. And she shook her head. She said, that's bad, because the wolf will eat your dog just like that. There's the leopard, quick and stealthy, lethal. You never see the leopard coming. There's the bear, strong and silent, but brutal if you irritate him or wake him up from a nap. There's the calf, weak and helpless, lunch, food for the taking. There's the cow. This is the person who's learned to defer, to give in, not cause a controversy, so they're not eaten. And there's the child. Innocent and vulnerable, has not yet learned to fear, has not yet learned to hate. As Walter Brueggemann describes this character, the child is the target audience for the jungle. The child is the one who will put her hand in the hole of the serpent's lair, unaware of the danger. So all the animals are here. All the people in your jungle. They're all behaving in their prescribed and predictable ways. Now also imagine, as this prophecy invites us to do, there's a city in this jungle. Your city. Jerusalem can be any city. It really can be any institution. It could be our church. It could be our denomination. It could be our government. It has suffered the terrors and the dangers of the jungle. For the people of God in Jerusalem, the jungle was brutal. They suffered invasions. Their city was burned. Their people were killed. Their sacred symbols were brought to ruin and rubble. They were finally displaced. They were taken from their home in exile, forced to live in a foreign land. The jungle had taken the best from them. It had stolen their homes, their identity, their life. It bled the life right out of them. When they thought of Jerusalem now, they thought of an old dead stump. When you look at a stump, are you filled with hope? You're not filled with hope. But rather you wonder about the life that used to be and is now gone. A stump is not a symbol of life, but it's rather that the best of life is used up. A stump is not an image of looking forward, but it's a moment of a remnants of a life that used to be. And you can't get that back, no matter how hard you try. This can all lead to cynicism and despair. Perhaps because you see the jungle is unable to change its ways, and you fight against it as futile. And maybe some have given up hoping. But the amazing good news of the gospel, the amazing prophecy of Isaiah, is that the wind is blowing. Into this pain and devastation, the wind blows. The mighty wind of God. Or as the Old Testament would say, the Ruach, which means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The incredible, unstoppable, inscrutable, immutable, transformational, world-changing, life-giving, community-transforming Spirit of God is blowing. The wind blows, and it's bringing life with it. Because as it blows across the stump, something happens that nobody thought would. A shoot comes out of it. A shoot from the stump of Jesse. The old Davidic line they thought was over, all of a sudden has a new branch. The wind blows, and it blows with it and brings a new leader, a new kind of king. This is not a new presidential candidate. It's not the voice of a religious fanatic. It's something no one in their pain and despair would have ever imagined hearing. Into this dangerous world of eating and being eaten, of dominating, comes the announcement of a new leader. And the whole jungle trembles at his name, Yahweh. You know, the original word of Yahweh has no vowels in it. So it sounds like... Yeah. A rabbi once... I said Yahweh out loud once to a rabbi friend of mine, and he admonished me. He said, "We don't do that. Because the name is so holy, it's unpronounceable. We're the ones who put the vowels in there." I love that. I think that's cool about God. The defining quality of this new king will not be the promises he makes. The defining quality will be that the Spirit of God rests upon him. Listen to how he's described. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and wisdom and fear of the Lord. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. The wind, the wind, the wind. He is Holy Spirit powered. That's who this man is. Wow. He will act differently. Listen to Isaiah 11:3 and 4. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see. That means he won't take bribes. He won't decide by what his ears hear. He won't be persuaded by propaganda. Listen to how he's dressed. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist. Faithfulness, the belt around his loins. This new king acts differently. This new king looks differently. This new king is differently. He is Holy Spirit powered. And these prophetic words came to be understood and are today by us Christians as the announcement of Jesus Christ. When John began shouting in the wilderness, which is one of the companion scriptures for today, he was announcing that this prophecy is being fulfilled. The king is here. The wind is blowing. And with it comes this new shoot and this new king. And something else happens. The wind is blowing and the jungle becomes a place no one ever thought or believed it could be. It becomes a place not of fear but of love. It becomes a place not of hunting but of communion. It becomes a place not of scarcity but of abundance, not of survival but of fellowship. The jungle's transformed. The inhabitants began acting in a totally new way. The wolf doesn't eat your dog. The lion and the calf lie down together. The cow and the bear feed together because there'll be enough. And the child plays over the serpent's hole and will be safe. And maybe even the cats will welcome the cockatoo. Old enemies become friends. Intractable conflicts are somehow resolved. Who would have thought that the old stump could bring forth any new life? Christmas. Christmas is about the transformation of our relationships, transformation of our communities. The jungle we take for normal, Isaiah imagines another way. It boldly proclaims that that's not the way it's supposed to be. The way it is now is not the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't have to protest in North Dakota. But we do. The wind is blowing and it's bringing with it life and it's reshaping our social world. It's transforming our communities. It's amazing to me how Advent and stewardship go together. Because this is a time when we Christians decide to trust the wind. To trust the Spirit of God. And when we align ourselves and we reorganize ourselves and our life to catch the wind, we unfurl the sails in a different way. And we seek to live our life Holy Spirit powered. As we always do. That's what you're doing today in Advent. That's what we're doing. We're hearing the announcement that the wind is blowing. And we decide again to trust that wind and align our lives towards God's wind, with God's wind. So it's amazing. This is not new to you, First Concord. You know this. You've always done this. You've always taken that moment to make a bold decision to align yourself with the wind of God. I learned today about the towers that you sponsored many, many years ago. I've always seen them. And somebody said this morning, that's what the breakfast was about. You're supporting that towers. That's amazing. I know that you transformed an old porno theater. You bought it. You shut it down. But not only that, you turned it into a place. And I love the way Toby described it last week in your sermon. I listened to your sermon, by the way. You described it, I think it was this way. It's a place now where families can go carelessly happy, or carelessly free. I thought that was an Isaiah-like way to describe it. You transformed a dark place into a place that's not only safe, but you can be carelessly happy, carelessly free. It's like the child is safe, the carefree safety. This is what you're doing today. When you come before you, you'll find in your bulletins, a green card. This is part of your commitment card, your stewardship card. It's asking you to make a decision again to take one step up. But I don't know if that's enough for you, because you like to take bold steps. So think of this as a bold step. And it asks you on one side, what are the ways that we can give to God's ministry that happens through this church, through our treasures, through our resources, by our tithing? Knowing what you've done before, how far can we step up? And then you make a mark there. You put your number in, or you put in what you feel like you can do. And on the back, it's not only about just money, but it's about time and talents. It's about all of ourselves. We worship God with all of ourselves. We give to God all that we are. And this isn't just about supporting a church. This is about aligning yourself with the wind that is blowing. This is what this represents. This is my decision to align myself with the wind of God that is blowing through this church, that is transforming this community right around us. And you have visible evidence of that doing so. Not just that. Don't you transform the square once a year with this amazing concert that turns a square into a gospel music festival? It's amazing. And there's only a few things that you're doing. So take a moment as you're sitting and listening to fill this in and bring it forward. Even if you're not sure if you can do it. Even if you're going to change your mind later, that's all right. It's flexible. We're sailors. We're windsurfers. We make adjustments as we go. But the point is to start somewhere. So I wanted to highlight in the sermon today, as part of your campaign, your stewardship campaign, your Advent decision to align yourself with the wind of God. And what does that look like? What does that look like in your time and your talent and your resources? What does that look like in your life at church? Because the wind is blowing, and this is our statement that we believe that. This is our proclamation. The wind of God is blowing, and we're part of that. I don't know what it would take to convince a wolf to lie down with a lamb if all the wolf ever knows is violence. I think it would take a transformation of a divine order. And this is what Isaiah announces. And this is what we are unable to do by ourselves, but which God is ultimately doing. God is transforming our communities and our life right in front of us. Our job is to watch for it, to see moments when it's happening, moments when God is breaking in and the Holy Spirit is breaking in, and be ready and be responsive, because we are called to be those alternative communities. People should look at our congregations and our gatherings and realize this is not business as usual. This is something else. This is kingdom work. This is wind work. This is where somebody says, where does the joy come from? We want to be part of that. How can we practice this vision? How can we live towards it? How can we find a way to pray together and worship together? How can we know who our neighbors are, not just their street addresses? What are their dreams? What are their hopes? This is a bold proclamation at Advent that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is the new king of the jungle. And he trumps any Trump. I can't believe I just said that. But he trumps any government. He trumps any political venue. He is the king of the jungle. So this is one high vision. And you experience it every time you see the community transformed. And you know you're part of it, but you also know it's more than you, don't you? You did all this, but it was more than you that was doing it. It was a bold step that came together, and you probably didn't know how you're going to realize it at first. Isaiah is saying, Jesus Christ is King, God the Lord is sovereign. And the wind of God is blowing, and it is transforming our lives. I want to share with you one story. I'm not sure I've shared with you before, but I got this message early on in my ministry. And it never left me. I was ordained to ministry 24 years ago. And part of the ordination was be examined by the Committee on Ministry and be examined on the floor of Presbytery. And I was examined, and I was new, you know, and I was going before the Committee on Ministry that oversees this was in the Presbytery of South Alabama. And I'm from Georgia, so. And the Presbytery of South Alabama had a reputation of being hard on its candidates, because they wanted people to take seriously this call to ministry. They wanted to make sure you were ready. And so I went to the Committee on Ministry, and, you know, I thought it was a coffee hour, because after all, I'd graduated. But it was an examination. And they began to speak to me in those authoritative voices. And I froze. I forgot everything I knew. I was scared. I began to laugh out loud inappropriately for no reason. They looked at me funny. They said, Jeff, we know you know this stuff. They called my mentors to see if I was all right. They said, oh, he's just nervous. So they decided not to pass me. They gave me provisional acceptance and wanted another interview. So I went and I said, go study some more, go relax, come back, and we'll do this again. So I did. Did much better. And they prepared me to be examined on the floor of presbytery. We examine ministers at our presbytery meetings when they're new candidates. And I was brought to the floor of the presbytery of South Alabama. And just as I was going, I was a little nervous again, but just as I was walking in the back door of the church, it was in a church, elderly gentleman came from out of nowhere, seemingly, grabbed the lapel of my jacket and stopped me. And he said to me, he said, are you the new kid? And I must have had that look of the calf who's about to lie down with the lion. I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, listen, if you get stuck, the right answer is the sovereignty of God. So I said, okay. So I went on and I was being examined on the floor and I'm doing pretty good and they're asking me questions and I'm doing right. They briefed me well. And then you open it to the floor of the presbytery for questions. Anybody can ask a question. So a gentleman stood up in the back, looked like Moses. He said, young man, I have one question for you. Sum up the Christian faith. Well, I went like a deer in the headlights. Sum up the Christian faith. Who does that? I mean, there are four Gospels. John Calvin wrote two volumes. And I began to search for answers. Jesus loves me. What can this be? Bible tells me so. And I remembered the gentleman at the door. So I answered. I said, well, sir, I have to answer that as the sovereignty of God. And the gentleman said, thank you, and sat down. God gave me an answer to a question that hadn't even been asked yet. And also the main message of the gospel. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. He's spirit-powered. He can't be bought. He can't be bribed. He can't be persuaded. And he is God's love. He gave his life for us. And the wind is blowing. The wind is always blowing. And that is what's going to bring life to our church, to our presbytery, to our community. And this jungle is going to start behaving in ways nobody ever thought possible. And it's going to be wonderful. So God bless you, and remember, the wind is blowing. Amen.